You ever get that feeling like, oh man, this real estate deal's a sure thing, everything's solid, and then bam, some hidden title issue just pops up out of nowhere and just swallows you whole?
Oh yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's like you're standing on solid ground and suddenly it turns into quicksand.
Uh-huh.
Especially with those, you know, those Leibnizians, encumbrances. They can turn what seems like a done deal into a total legal nightmare.
It's like the worst kind of surprise party, you know, not the fun kind. So today we're diving deep, really deep, into a case that deals with exactly this kind of scenario. It's Greenberg v. Stewart Title.
Ah, yes. Greenberg. A classic case. 1992, Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's seriously like the foundation for understanding the whole contract versus tort liability thing, especially when it comes to title insurance.
Definitely a must-know for any law student out there.
Yeah.
Especially if you're dealing with property law or trying to wrap your head around economic loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, the core issue here is so crucial for future lawyers. Like, let's say your client loses a ton of money because of a title defect. Can you go after the title insurance company for, like, straight-up negligence? Or are you stuck with just what's in the insurance policy? We've got to unpack all of this, the facts, the legal reasoning, everything. This case, Greenberg, it's got some serious takeaways for all you aspiring lawyers.
Absolutely. It's a goldmine of legal lessons. So, okay, let's set the scene here. We've got Martin Greenberg. He goes and buys 4 condo units. And to cover himself, he gets these title commitments from Stewart Title Guarantee Company.
Through their agent, right?
Right, exactly. Through their agent, Southeastern Wisconsin Title Company. And then Stewart Title, they go ahead and issue the owner's title insurance policies to Greenberg for each of these properties. And Greenberg's thinking, okay, I'm going to use these condos, leverage them as collateral for some loans. Seems like a solid plan, right?
Sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah. Totally. But of course, nothing ever goes that smoothly, right?
Oh, you know it's about to go sideways.
Of course. So out of the blue, these liens and encumbrances pop up on the titles.
Surprise.
Yeah, talk about a bad surprise. And these things completely derail Greenberg's plans to sell the condos. So the lenders, they end up foreclosing, and Greenberg's left holding the bag.
The bag being a pretty hefty $564,771.71 in deficiency judgments. That's got to hurt.
Oof. Yeah, that's a serious financial blow. So Greenberg, he's not just going to take this lying down. He decides, okay, I'm going to sue Stewart Title. But here's the thing. It wasn't just a simple breach of contract claim.
There's more to it, right?
Oh, there's always more to it.
Yeah.
He also throws in a negligence claim, arguing that Stewart Title was totally negligent in not finding these pre-existing title defects.
Okay, so that's where the real legal battle starts. It's like Greenberg saying, look, you guys messed up, you didn't do your job right, and it cost me big time.
Exactly. And Stewart Title's probably over there thinking, hold on, we issued an insurance policy, we did our part, our obligations are spelled out in the contract, plain and simple. So yeah, this whole contract versus tort tension, that's the heart of this case.
It's a classic legal showdown.
Totally. And this is where it gets really important, especially for you future lawyers out there. We got to understand what a title commitment actually is. It's not like a foolproof guarantee of a clean title. It's more like a preliminary thing where the insurer is saying, okay, if these conditions are met, we'll issue you a title insurance policy.
Got it. So it's not a done deal, more like a we're thinking about it kind of thing.
Precisely. And it seems Greenberg thought that commitment meant he was totally covered, like a guarantee of no defects. But the court didn't see it that way.
Makes sense. So what happened next? I'm guessing the lower court sided with Stewart Title.
You guessed right. They basically said, look, this is a contractual relationship, pure and simple. Any liability here comes down to what's in the insurance contract, not tort law.
So Greenberg is feeling like he didn't get a fair shake, and he decides to take it up a notch, right?
Exactly. He appeals it all the way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, they hone in on one key question. Does issuing a title commitment or even a full-blown title insurance policy automatically create a separate legal duty for the title insurer to do a super thorough title search, like a duty that goes above and beyond what's in the policy? Can they get sued for negligence just because they missed something during their search, something that ends up costing the policyholder a lot of money?
Okay, so big questions here, and I know there's a really important legal concept that comes into play, something that heavily influenced the court's decision, the economic loss doctrine.
Right. So for those of you still wrapping your heads around torts and contracts, can you break down what this doctrine is and why it was so crucial in the Greenberg case? Absolutely. So the economic loss doctrine, it's basically saying you can't usually sue in tort to get back money you lost because of a contract. It's all about keeping contract law and tort law separate. So if you've got an agreement, a contract, and you lose money because the other side didn't hold up their end of the bargain, your solution is usually within contract law.
Unless, of course, there's something more going on.
Exactly. Unless the other party also messed up in a way that goes beyond the contract, like violated some duty that exists totally separate from the contract, then things get more interesting.
Makes sense. So in Greenberg's situation, his losses were all financial, right?
Mm.
Those deficiency judgments, that's pure economic loss. And his whole deal with Stewart Title, it all started with that insurance contract. So the court's basically trying to figure out, did Stewart Title have a duty to do a perfect title search that was completely separate from their promise to cover him under the policy?
Exactly. It all boils down to duty. And the court's reasoning went like this. Stewart Title's main legal responsibility to Greenberg, it was all spelled out in that contract. They had to cover him for financial losses because of title defects, the ones specifically listed in the policy. They didn't have some bigger, separate duty under tort law to act like a title abstractor who promises a 100% accurate title.
Okay, so their job was to insure him against certain risks,
mm-hmm.
not to guarantee there would be zero risks.
Precisely. And the court, they made it really clear that when title insurance companies do these title searches, they're mostly doing it for themselves. They want to figure out how risky it is to insure a property before they issue a policy.
Kind of like checking things out to protect themselves, right?
Exactly. They want to know what exceptions they need to put in the coverage. It's not like they're doing this search as a favor to the buyer, promising a totally clean title, unless, of course, they specifically say that's what they're doing.
I'm starting to see the logic here. It's kind of like when you get homeowners insurance. They might send someone out to look at your house before they give you a policy, but that doesn't mean they're promising to keep your house in perfect shape all the time.
That's a great analogy. That inspection, it's all about them assessing their own risk, not about making guarantees to you beyond what's in the contract. And that's what the court was saying about Greenberg. The heart of their relationship was that contract. Greenberg bought a promise to be covered for certain losses, not a promise of a perfect title. If he wanted that super strong guarantee, he could have hired a title abstractor separately. And this is so important for you future lawyers to understand. Title insurance and title abstracting, they're two different things. Greenberg kind of mixed those two up in his expectations.
Got it. So what about Stewart Title's agent in all this? Southeastern Wisconsin Title Company. They were named in the lawsuit too, right? Did they get off the hook?
Oh yeah, the court applied the same logic to them. They basically said that an insurance agent, their main duty is to the company they're representing, to their principal. In this case, that's Stewart Title, not Greenberg, the buyer.
Okay, because Southeastern was acting on behalf of Stewart Title, not directly for Greenberg.
Exactly. Southeastern was doing their job as Stewart Title's agent, so their legal obligations came from that relationship, not from some separate duty they owed to Greenberg under tort law.
Gotcha. That makes sense. So for all the law students out there who are listening to this, what are the key takeaways from Greenberg v. Stewart Title? What do we absolutely need to remember?
Okay, here are the big ones. First, when you're dealing with title insurance in cases where someone's lost money, the main thing you need to look at is the insurance policy. That's where the answers are. Don't expect to be able to easily add on negligence claims just because someone lost money from a title defect. Unless, of course, you can show that there was a separate independent duty that was violated.
Right. It has to be more than just a simple mistake.
Exactly. Second, that Wisconsin economic loss doctrine, it's a big deal in these kinds of cases. If there's no duty that exists outside of what's in the contract, you're probably not going to be able to win a tort claim just to get money back. Third, always remember that agency principal agents of title insurance companies, they work for the insurer, not for the person buying the policy. And finally, you got to be crystal clear on the difference between a title insurer and a title abstractor.
We were just talking about that, right? The insurer protects you from financial losses, while the abstractor really digs deep to make sure the title is clean.
Exactly. And the court in Greenberg, they basically said that Greenberg was expecting the insurer to act like a guarantor, promising a perfect title. And that's just not what they do, at least not unless it's specifically spelled out in the agreement.
So all of this considered, how has Greenberg actually changed things in the real estate world, at least in Wisconsin? It feels like it set some pretty clear boundaries.
Oh, it's had a major impact, for sure. Greenberg basically screams, hey, buyers, you got to do your homework. Don't just assume the title insurance policy is going to find every little problem. It's still on the buyer to do their own research, to really understand what their title insurance covers and what it doesn't, before they sign on the dotted line.
Makes sense. Protect yourself.
Exactly. And I think this case also pushed the title insurance industry to be a lot more clear about what their policies actually cover and what they don't. For you future lawyers, this means you got to be super careful, really go through those policy exclusions and endorsements with your clients, because what's not covered can be just as important as what is.
Right. No surprises.
Exactly. And the source material for this episode, it brings up a really interesting what if scenario. What if Stewart Title had gone above and beyond what their normal policy required? What if they had actually promised Greenberg a really thorough title search, guaranteed it was accurate, like way beyond their usual obligations? Could that have changed things?
That's a great question. Would that have shifted the whole liability thing?
It might have. The court in Greenberg actually said that if a title insurer decides to do more than just promise to insure against specific losses, if they say, "Hey, we're going to do this super intense search and we guarantee it's going to be accurate," then they might actually be opening themselves up to a negligence claim.
Because they're making a specific promise, going above and beyond.
Exactly. If they don't deliver on that promise and someone loses money because of it, well, then they might be in trouble. So if Stewart Title had told Greenberg, "We're going to do this super thorough title search and we guarantee we won't miss a thing," that could have been a whole different ballgame. But in the actual case, there was nothing that said Stewart Title had made any kind of special promise like that.
Okay, so the big takeaway from Greenberg v. Stewart Title is that contract law is king when it comes to title insurance disputes, especially when it's all about money. If a title insurer just does what they're supposed to do under the contract, they're probably not going to be held liable for negligence just because they didn't find some hidden title defect. It really underscores how important it is for future lawyers to really get those contracts, to understand the difference between what's a contractual duty and what's a tort duty, especially when you're advising clients about property transactions.
Couldn't said it better myself. This case really shows why it's so important to be clear about who's doing what and what they're responsible for, especially in real estate deals.
Absolutely. Great insights today. It's really got me thinking, how will Greenberg v. Stewart Title continue to shape how title insurance policies are written? And how will it affect the advice that legal professionals give to their clients who are dealing with property transactions? It's definitely something for all you aspiring legal minds to ponder as you move forward in your studies. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Greenberg v. Stewart Title.
My pleasure. Always happy to break down a good case.
Until next time.
See ya.